ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Economics.
Joining us for a look at business and finance news this week is the ABC's Chief Business Reporter, Ian Verinder. Ian, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Good to be here, Phil.
Everyone's talking about a share market bust. A lot of first home buyers probably wish there was a house price bust, or at least anything to put a house within reach. If you're a young person, of course, and you don't have support, it's out of reach. This has occurred to regulators as well. The question is what you do about it, as we know, because giving people grants and cutting stamp duty and all that sort of stuff just feeds demand, and therefore prices go up. But APRA, the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority, could do something about this, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. And, you know, the funny thing is, for all the talk
about... And they may well be thinking of doing it.
They are at the moment.
And,
you know, for all the talk about bubbles, you know, the AI bubble and Wall Street bubbles.
Bitcoin
and
bubble.
Everything's a bubble. I can remember 2010, most economists were talking about the Australian housing market being in a bubble. And they were urging regulators, and particularly the Reserve Bank and APRA, to do something about it, to implement what's known as macroprudential controls. Now, you know, an odd-sounding term, but what it means is you restrict lending and you try and clamp down on the demand for housing there. Now, I mean, there's obviously a couple of big drivers behind housing prices. One is we've had a huge growth in population over the years, and we've got tax arrangements in place that really benefit investors over, you know, for particularly first home buyers at that end of the market. And anyway, APRA and the Reserve Bank were really reluctant to do anything about this for years. And in fact, the Reserve Bank really poo-pooed the whole idea for quite a long time until they were gradually forced into getting... They work in conjunction with APRA on these kind of matters. And by 2014, the housing market had gone just crazy. So from bubble in 2010 to, you know, something well beyond a bubble in 2014. And they introduced some lending restrictions then, but they didn't really police it all that well. And there were a few banks that were kind of ignoring the whole, you know, issue. And then by around about 2017, because interest rates at that point were really coming off, you know, not, you know, like, it was just gradually being chipped down lower and lower every couple of months for several years there. And it's because the economy wasn't performing too well. So by 2017, we had housing prices just going absolutely nuts. And APRA and the Reserve Bank got serious about it, and they decided to really clamp down on investors. So rather than just limit, you know, try to put a kind of stopgap over all home loans, they targeted investors. And the way they did that was that they said to the banks, you are going to have a quota for interest-only loans, right? You can only lend this proportion of your total portfolio of lending. Only this tiny little proportion can be interest-only, right? We want it reined right in. And the reason they did that is because investors pretty much... That's all they go for, interest-only loans, because it maximises the tax benefits, you know, with negative gearing. And suddenly, you had investors basically fleeing the property market. They weren't interested anymore. And prices started to gradually come down. It wasn't a crash. It was just a very, very gradual decline over the next 2.5 to 3 years. So between 2017 and 2020, you saw prices come off around about 10%. So, you know, it's a reasonable decline in total, but it was not really noticed that much because it was such a gradual decline. And what happened during that period was that the shortfall from investors was largely made up with first home buyers. So it was, you know, here was the regulator that had kind of managed to do what governments have long failed to do. You can pretty much give up on trying to have any kind of tax reform so that you can have a properly functioning housing market, because we favour investors so much with negative gearing and the capital gains tax discounts. But, you know, you can do it if you, you know, impose these kind of rules. Now, last week, APRA released a big report.
Yeah, go on.
And essentially what they'd done is that they've gone through, and they do this fairly regularly, they go through the whole banking system, the whole financial system, and they stress test our banks. Now, what would happen if we had a major catastrophe, you know, a major, a global outage or a global strike from hackers or something like that? Would our banks and our financial system be able to cope? And they basically came up with, you know, quite heartening news that our banks were in pretty good shape in that regard. Mm-hmm. But buried all through this report is, you know, references to housing prices and the extent that housing is a potential flashpoint for our economy and our financial system.
Because if you're the big four banks, the hugest part of your lending portfolio is home loans, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it. Because they're probably not worried about it because they, as everyone knows, homeowners pay their loans back.
They do, yeah.
You know,
I mean, you know, you and I were both
startup businesses don't necessarily.
You and I were both around in the 80s when the entrepreneurs were in full swing. You had the Alan Bonds and the Christopher Scases.
They didn't pay their loans back.
Well, no, and that was the problem because we had financial deregulation, so we had money just being lent willy-nilly, and all the banks wanted to get into the high-profile lending of, you know, lending to big businessmen and entrepreneurs, and they did. And so finally, after around about 87, the crash, between 87 and 89, they suddenly discovered that all these people had either gone broke and they didn't have any money to pay back, or they'd fled the country, as Christopher Scase did. And so they looked around and thought, what can we do to replace this incredible income stream that we've had from lending? And they all focused on housing and went, look at that. It's pretty dull, pretty boring. But you know what? Homeowners, they'll do almost anything to keep the roof over their head.
Of course, yeah, that's right.
And it's just gone off from there. But as you say, home lending is now the staple of our banking system. For the big banks, it represents more than half of their loan portfolios, some of them more so than that.
If you engineered a fall in house prices through APRA, what would be the effect on the economy?
Well, if it's gradual, this is where you've got to try and time it. Yeah, it is really tricky. And all you got to do is look in China. China engineered a house price decline. It got totally out of control, and it's now, you know, really undermining their economy. If it's a gradual decline, most people don't realize that it's such a problem. And, you know, you've got to realize too that, you know, if you've got investors moving out, putting their money elsewhere in the stock market or whatever else they want to put their money into, that breach is going to be filled pretty quickly by a lot of, you know, we've got a lot of people out there that can't afford to buy homes anymore. If prices come off a touch, they're going to be in there and they're going to be, you know, more than happy to pick up property at that lower end of the market. So I don't think you're ever going to get a property crash, you know, and particularly if you target investors.
APRA, does APRA have control over all lenders? No, they don't.
Well, not private lenders, no.
Because I was just wondering whether or not people would seek to get finance from somewhere else.
Yeah, you could, but generally speaking, well, up until the last few years, it's been more expensive than going through a traditional bank. That's possibly not the case these days. But private lending has now grown to such an extent that ASIC is having a really hard look at what they should be doing about private lending because, you know, it's essentially a shadow banking system that avoids all of the regulations that are put in place to ensure that we've got a strong and healthy financial system that isn't prone to collapsing because of some, you know, event that we didn't foresee.
Yes. Cracking down on investor loans. Well, you know, it's going to be difficult. They'd be getting tacit approval from the government to do this, wouldn't they?
I don't think they have to approach the government
at all.
No. The biggest, I guess.
Why would they do it then?
Well, because
here's, banks wouldn't want it.
Well, as long as the banks can pick up business elsewhere, I mean, they don't really care that much. I mean, if the mix of loans is shifting to homeowners rather than home investors, property investors, they don't really care that much. The biggest issue here is for the Reserve Bank. Now, the Reserve Bank will tell you, if you ask them, are you to blame for the rising housing prices? Because, and look at what's happened this year. They've cut rates three times this year, and each time they've done it, that has marginally improved housing affordability. But within almost no time, that translates into higher demand and, you know, your housing affordability benefits.
Are you saying that the government's modelling from Treasury, which says there'd be a minimal impact, is just not worth the paper it's written on?
Well, no, but I think the Reserve Bank is concerned about housing. Now, they'll tell you that asset prices, nothing to do with us. Our remit is for inflation to be kept under control and to make sure that we've got maximum number of people employed as humanly possible. But you don't have to dig too far beneath the surface to realise that if they're sitting around a table going, look, if we cut interest rates, the housing market's going to get completely out of whack again. And so the benefits of our interest rate cut is not going to flow through to the broader economy. Mm. It's going to create a problem here. And it's an intergenerational problem that is getting worse by the day. I mean, you've now got the situation where the median house price is 8 times the median wage. Mm. Now, most banks are being told by the regulators that you can't lend beyond 6 times.
Mm.
But we're now at 8 on the figures. Mm. We've got, $2.6 trillion worth of mortgages out there. I mean, and that is a serious whack of the bank's business, of Australian banking business. It's the kind of situation that the government would be aware of, and it's something that obviously the banking regulator is more than aware that this is happening, and I think they want to just rein that back in. So at this briefing late last week, they were repeatedly asked, are you going to introduce macroprudential controls? And it was, and there was a lot of words being spoken in answers without any real answer given. The closest we came was, just watch this space.
Yes, very interesting. All right, Ian, insightful as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.